I just want to share something that happened to me and family a few weeks ago. I've always had to fight for things in my life. As a child, some easy to fight and some not. A few weeks ago, I had to fight 100%. It was a very dark place. I could not see me winning the fight. I was kicking and screaming at God. It was out of my control and I didn't like it. I came to church not knowing why I was there and what did I want God to do. God gave Grace a word. It's not word perfect. It went something like this. Although things seemed so hard at the moment, it had to be this way for God to get the end result he wanted. But it will all turn out for the best. I did not want to hear that, but deep down I knew what God was saying. It was out of my control. I went home thinking what had been said. God said to me, Do you think I would let anything happen to you and my kids to harm you? I have got them in my hand. Then God gave me Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall have peace. Whew.
Spent quite a lot of time praying for a little girl called Lauren, and the wedding that I went to over the weekend, the girl who was getting married, it's her cousin Lauren, and basically she's got a really rare disease where she's no immune system. I think there's her in Ireland and one person in England that's got this problem, and last year she was in intensive care, and they said, you know, it's just a matter of time because everything was packing up. They had to fly her to Sweden because that was where the specialists were that could deal with this disease. And every day she managed to fight through, even though all her body was sort of screaming out and just packing in, she managed to fight through. And yesterday at the wedding, the father was talking about different types of love. And then people were coming and giving readings, and Lauren was there, and she got up and said, I want to speak about the miracle of love, and if anybody's qualified to speak about miracles of love, then I'm it. And she wanted to thank everybody for the prayers, because she knew that she was a walking miracle. And I just wanted to share that with you because you all prayed for her and she's a walking miracle.
And we were talking. She used to call me, and every time I said to her, when you call me, just...
Battery.
Just talking for talking. And so she used to do that. And at night, she had her Bible with her, and she called me, and we were talking about different things and her problems with her husband and her children. And after it was my turn to talk about my problems, things like that. And I remember we were talking about going back, going back home. But I wasn't sure if it's going back to France or going back to the Caribbean. And I said to her, one thing is sure, I cannot see me going back to the same religious system. And she said, here you are, I've got a word for you. And she went into, and it was Isaiah chapter 45, verse 2 and 3. And it was, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gate of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. I thought, wow. She didn't look for it, really, because she doesn't really know the word. But it just, I suppose, it just fell on her lap while she was talking to me. So straight away, I colored that verse. Well, something about 4 years ago. And not long ago, God brought those two verses back to me. And I thought, uh-oh. And I went to one of the meetings with Teen Challenge. And they started the meeting with a reading, and it was that reading on the verse 3. That is their logo in Teen Challenge. I will give thee the treasure of the darkness. I thought, thank you, Lord, I'm on the wise track. And so every day I go to that verse, and I just read it and meditate it. And about February, March, God talked to me. I was just opening, looking for something in the Bible. In Joel chapter 2, I was looking for a verse for my friend Brigitte. And God talked to me, and God said to me, Joel chapter 2, verse 12, he said, therefore also now, says the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And he took me to verse, same chapter. And he took me to verse 23 to verse 27. And he said to me, if you put into practice the verse 12, prayer and fasting. And he really gave me verse 25. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm and great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it's something I've been doing even before I gave my life to the Lord. When I was in the Caribbean, we used to fast and pray once a month, the first Sunday. And I used to stay because they used to have the meeting in the morning, 10 to 12, and saying to people, if you want to stay, and it was a time of prayer from 12 to 3 o'clock. That is their time of fasting from morning until 3 o'clock. And I really enjoyed that time. I didn't understand much about it. I didn't see the effect of it straight away in my life. But now I can see it. And it became a habit in my life. Fasting became a habit. And I've realized every time, also when I was in France, the church used to fast every Monday. So I took part of that also. But one of the things I've realized here, and every time I had to go to the Caribbean, God was always asking me to fast, always before going. And it's something I did, but not with much knowledge, of course, but I obeyed. And I used to do it once a week. And there in March, God just gave me Joel chapter 2, 12 and 25, 26. And he said to me to put it in practice, to apply into it, and I will see the change in my life. And since I started doing it, but it became a habit in terms of when you do something, your body gets used to it. So the day I used to do it, it's like I was never hungry at all. For me, it wasn't very long, because the day was going fast, and like, that's it, and it's done. And I decided to get some books which talk about fasting and meditate on it and study it. And I've realized so many people, they spend time in fasting. They spend 1 day, 3 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and the change which happened in their life. It really made me think the importance of fasting. Why? And I was reading about Jesus in Luke chapter 4, where it says that Jesus was full of the Spirit.
and he went into the wilderness. And for 40 days, he fasted. He prayed and fasted. And Jesus came back differently. He came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. He went full of the Holy Spirit, but he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And several examples in the Bible, in 2 Chronicles, when Jehoshaphat was in trouble, where God put on his heart to set up a fast, and where they saw the enemy was defeated, and they had like great victory. But it wasn't really a victory. It was victory plus triumph, because there is a difference. We can have a victory, but the triumph is where you get back more than what you had. Because it's what happened with Jehoshaphat. They get back. For 3 days, they were just getting all the spoil of the enemy, all the riches, or everything. That was really a triumph. And I started really to meditate on that. We need to go into fasting for our family, but also for Doncaster. Doncaster need, and also for the congregation, for us to see people coming to Harvest Fields, and for people to be able to listen to the word and receive their victory, their breakthrough, their deliverance, and their healing the way it should be done. The way it was done in the book of Acts, and when you hear it in different places. We need some breakthrough. I believe we need some breakthrough among us. And I believe it will be through prayer and fasting, just to push the strongholds, pull down strongholds in our own life, but also in among us, and to see breakthrough here in Doncaster. Because the work which within Challenge Doncaster, they are going to start very soon, will need people to intercede, and not only intercede, but to pray and fast also, to see really breakthrough. Because you didn't share that, Sonia. Sonia had a dream not long ago, last week. You had a dream last week. Sonia was sharing with me a dream she had. And you tell me if it's like that. She had a dream. She saw, was it Andrew and Grace? Andrew and Grace, they were sat in a big congregation and just waiting for the meeting to start. Yeah, and it was really a big congregation. And she said it was like as if different churches which met together. Was it Andrew was going to preach? Yeah, something like that. And she realized there was like a group of Christians, but they were like talking about Andrew and Grace like their enemies. They were saying like, oh, those people, they are our enemies. And she came to me and shared that with me. And I said to Sonia, and I started really to think about it, different churches coming together, and it's what they are going to do within Challenge. And I don't know if you know that, Andrew is the vice president of Teen Challenge. And I thought, Sonia, it's something you need to share. Because when you pray and fast, God will always show you in advance what the enemy is doing in order to prepare you to defeat the enemy and to spoil the enemy. So not only you will have victory, you will triumph over your enemy. And it's where Harvest we have to find its place to stand behind Andrew and Grace when such things will take place with Teen Challenge Doncaster. Where we will have to stand behind them in intercession, in prayer and fasting, to pull down stronghold in Doncaster. Because I remember in October 2001, God gave me a word, and he gave me, and I wrote it down, I gave a bit, half of it to Andrew. The first word he said to me, Doncaster is cursed. And the second word he said to me, seven churches, 7 days of prayer and fasting. That was in October 2001. I was just waiting to hear more. He didn't give me more. And it's something I've learned, I suppose, from Andrew, is always to wait. It's not because he said that you just have to go and do it. You always have to wait and hear when to do it and how to do it. Because we tend to, Christian, when we receive a word from God, we tend to just run with it like a flag, and we expect victory and triumph. And when we don't see it, we are disappointed and discouraged. And I believe that the time is coming where churches will have to meet together in fasting and prayer for Doncaster to pull down stronghold and to bring victory. Not long ago, God said to me to study seed. So I got a few books and I started to study seed. Because when you, the moment you talk about seed, we talk about tithes and offering. So it's the thought which comes to our mind quite often, which is normal. But I had some books talking about that. But I found another book called The Battle of the Seed, written by a Jamaican woman. And she was saying how our children, our grandchildren, are the seed we need to fight for, because they are the next generation. And she got a beautiful book about it, talking how parents should stand in the gap for their children, because it is their responsibility. It is God's seed, but you are responsible for that seed. And when I was going through that book, and I remember last time Helen preached here, she was talking about the aspect of the eagle. But while doing that, through it, she just mentioned Doncaster, and she was talking about the abortion clinic. She just mentioned it in one sentence or two, and she carried on her preaching. And it really stuck to me, and I said, yes, there is something God is showing us, and we are responsible for in Doncaster. That place is killing all the seed, and it shouldn't be. We are responsible for Doncaster. And it is our duty to pull down that stronghold. And it can't be done just like that. It will have to be done through prayer and fasting and intercession in order to see God's glory in Doncaster. Because if you read the book of Genesis, God created everything with a seed. There isn't anything without seed. Herbs, everything, human being, everything. And you could see, when Jesus met the fig tree and there were no seed in the fig tree, he cursed the fig tree, because the fig tree shouldn't be there. Without seed, you got no purpose, no future. And so I just wanted to share that with you.